Goeienaand weer, baie welkom by Sterre en Planete. Ons het vanavond so 'n bietjie van 'n ander program en dit bestaan uit 'n soort van 'n vasvraag. Ons gaan u daar by die huis nou nie pla met vrae en antwoorde nie, want Jim Adams, wat vanavond saam met ons is, gaan interessante vrae vraag oor wat precies is 'n satelliet. Die ander gaste is natuurlik Professor Mati Hoffman en Willie Koorts. Jim, welcome again. You were here 2 months ago. I think the people missed you.
Hi, honey. Yeah, I got a couple of requests or questions on the Facebook group about where I was and how things are going. I've been traveling quite a bit. I was in Zambia at the time, though.
This evening, we're going to talk about an interesting subject, and that would be satellites. Now, a satellite isn't a new thing. If you remember Sputnik 1957, that was the first satellite. But Jim, just define what exactly is a satellite.
Yeah, so that's a great question. And one of the Sputnik 1957, exactly right, honey, it was the first man-made satellite. The astronomers and astrophysicists will tell you that there are lots of things that are satellites in our solar system and beyond. The closest natural satellite is the moon. It's a satellite of the Earth, or we could talk about Titan at Saturn. Those are naturally occurring satellites. So what makes it a satellite? It's because it's attached to another object. It's orbiting another object. And so lots of times we'll use the term indiscriminately. Like at NASA, we'll say a satellite, but we actually mean something that isn't orbiting another thing. And so what I thought today I'd do is just kind of go over some definitions to give people a better idea of, when we are talking about these missions, what really defines them. And I'm going to talk about orbits or trajectories along the way. So if you're ready, we can go ahead and get started with that.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. So orbiting the Earth, there are three kinds of man-made satellite orbits. There's low Earth orbit, there's medium Earth orbit, and then there's the geosynchronous orbit. And so a low Earth orbit is defined as a satellite, a piece of man-made hardware that orbits the Earth between 160 kilometers and 1,000-ish kilometers or so. Just to give people a reference point, commercial airlines fly between 10 and 15 kilometers. So there's no danger that you're going to actually hit these things if you think about it. They're much further up. It's a very useful orbit for spacecraft that have missions to orbit the Earth and take pictures, because you're down low and you can get much better resolution than if you're up high, of course. Then there's these medium Earth orbits, and they're usually used by governments and military for observational reasons, because in order to stay in that orbit, it has to be highly elliptical, and the highly elliptical orbits increase what they call the hang time, the amount of time that spacecraft covers a certain region of the Earth. And those generally are 5,000 to 20,000 kilometers. A good example of those would be GPS satellites. And then ultimately, the geostationary or geosynchronous orbit is an orbit where the satellite is moving around the Earth at roughly the same speed as the Earth is rotating. And so it appears to be stationary over a single spot on the equator. And that is defined as 35,786 kilometers. If it's any higher or lower, it won't stay on that spot. So it has to be parked at exactly that altitude, and it will it'll hang over the Earth. And it's become a very useful orbit for things like telecommunication satellites and TV broadcasts and SiriusXM radio, if you have that in South Africa, uses these kinds of satellites that are in geostationary orbit. The satellites themselves are a collection of hardware that either take pictures or relay radio signals, carry scientific instruments, but they all communicate back to the Earth using radio waves, and sometimes they experiment with laser. If you go beyond the Earth, and that's where my passion really is, exploring in our solar system and beyond, we had sort of an adage that said that we first would fly by an object, and then we would orbit an object, and then we would land on an object, and then we would rove on an object. So fly by, orbit, land, and rove. All of those things are pieces of hardware, man-made things that we would do, and you can orbit another object. So we can send a satellite to orbit Mars, like the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter does. And it does the same thing at Mars that it would do at Earth. It takes pictures and it relays them back to Earth. We can fly by objects, kind of like the Voyager probes do. And sometimes we call Voyager probes satellites, but they're actually probes because they're not orbiting anything. I guess in the big picture, you could say they're orbiting the sun, but they've left the Earth, the control of the Earth's field, and they're not in orbit around another object. Then there's the landers, like the Viking landers on Mars, and the rovers like Curiosity. And so lots of times we'll get into this debate over whether the landers are satellites or the rovers are satellites. They're not really, but we kind of loosely use the term for people just because it's easier to understand. So that's Jim Adams' introduction to satellites.
Jim, could I ask you, where does this the Parker satellite or probe fit in, the one that's close to the sun?
Yeah, that's a really great question. In fact, I had designed a little quiz, and Parker is on it. So the Parker, the full name of the mission is called the Parker Solar Probe. So there's a clue there. But in fact, it's also orbiting. So it's actually a satellite of what?
Of the sun.
Of the sun, I guess.
Yeah. The sun, right.
Paul, you start with a quiz. I have now many questions. okay, yeah, if we put an object in an orbit around an Earth, it is a man-made satellite compared to the moon, which is a natural satellite. If it leaves the Earth, so it does not stay in an orbit, would one then just call it for the time being until it ends up at another planet as a would the general name be a spacecraft? And okay, and then when you that object or spacecraft reach, say, Jupiter, and it goes in an orbit around Jupiter, technically it would then be an artificial satellite of Jupiter, but I'm not used to the idea that we refer to spacecraft that's at other planets, even if though they are maybe in an orbit, as satellites. I'm used to think about satellites or man-made satellites as being around in orbit around the Earth. But would one then also consider objects in orbits around the planets that were sent there by humans as being artificial satellites?
Absolutely. The Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter is a satellite of Mars. And the Cassini spacecraft, even though it did lots of unusual mechanics to look at a variety of different objects in the Saturn system, it was constantly orbiting Saturn. So Cassini was a satellite of Saturn. That's exactly right. And so on its way, though, it was simply a spacecraft, right? It wasn't a satellite until it began to orbit something.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I guess it is quite normal to read about the satellites of Jupiter, and then they talk about the Galileo moons, for instance. They are quite often referred to as satellites of Jupiter. of Jovian right. satellites. Yes, yes. Yeah, so I assume the asteroids, they aren't really satellites because they're around the sun. So they're more planetesimals or whatever. Rather. Yeah, so I've never heard the asteroids being referred to as satellites as such. So I guess that makes the Parker also not a satellite then.
Right, which is why it's actually called a probe. But in yes. fact, if you wanted to broaden the definition, you could call it a satellite of the sun. Just like I would call Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter a satellite of Mars. It's the same sort of a thing.
Well, would yeah. you regard a comet as a satellite of the sun?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Yes. In fact, that was on my quiz. My quiz was I was going to ask you guys what you thought of Halley's Comet.
So planets are effectively orbiting the sun, and I've never heard mm-hmm. of a planet being referred to as a satellite. So rather a satellite is around a planet or another asteroid, I suppose, as Didymos and Dimorphos, for instance, the one's a satellite of the other. Yeah, it gets complicated.
Yeah, so Dimorphos we referred to as a moon of Didymos, right?
Yes.
And so it, by the sort of the general definition of satellite, would be a natural satellite of Didymos. So when we talk about satellites, we're really talking about orbits. But there's yes. lots of other ways of exploring space, right?
Yes,
we
yes.
talked a little bit about those. You know, we can send orbiters, which would then become satellites of the object that we send them to. But we've also sent the Voyager probes out, right? They didn't orbit anything, right? But they did fly by, you know, most of the planets in our solar system. So probe is a thing that doesn't linger at a destination, doesn't go into orbit around it. It just keeps on moving.
Yes, and, yes, yeah. yes.
It may be that the Voyagers are now satellites of the enormous black hole in the center of the galaxy, since they are leaving the solar system.
Right, and our sun then would also be the same thing, right? Our entire solar system is a satellite of that black hole, yeah?
Yeah, one actually do talk about satellite galaxies. So we would refer to yes. the Magellanic Clouds as satellite galaxies of ours. So sometimes that term is broadened to something out of the everyday use that we associate with, or meaning that we associate with satellites.
Yeah.
Would you regard the DART mission as a probe?
You guys are like ticking off my quiz questions here, but absolutely. Let's think about what DART did. DART was on a trajectory that caused it to impact the Dimorphos around Didymos, right? And so I would call DART a probe. In fact, it did several orbits around the Earth before it actually got to the point that it impacted Dimorphos. But since it had sort of this like terminal phase, which really wasn't designed to orbit anything, but it was designed specifically to impact a thing, I would call it a probe.
It made a lot of measurements, I think, which is one component of what a probe should be doing, collecting information, but then it became, and I think they sometimes use the terminology of impactus.
Yes, we do, sometimes call it impact. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But now the Cassini spacecraft was a satellite of Saturn, but then it also impacted Saturn.
Well, we changed its, we slowed its orbit down enough so that ultimately, in its final days, it would impact Saturn. And that's true about many of the satellites around the Earth as well, especially the low Earth orbit ones. Eventually, the tenuous drag of the upper atmosphere will slow them down just enough so that they re-enter the atmosphere and burn up on the way in.
So now we have two exceptions. The one is the lunar reconnaissance. That is now a satellite of our satellite. So that becomes complicated.
Yeah. Fun.
You were talking about LEO and MEO and GEO, low Earth orbit, medium, and geostationary. That's got the 1,000 kilometer roughly, and then 20,000, and then 35,000 orbits respectively. So you probably very much aware of the thing called the Molniya orbit, which the Russians used to use for spy satellites. So that crosses all these borders. So that becomes a bit complicated.
That and is a great orbit for a spy satellite. It also turned out to be a good orbit for GPS satellites. So
okay, so you could perhaps explain more what it is.
So a Molniya orbit is a highly elliptical orbit that's tilted at a particular angle. So not all orbits are along the equator. The plane of the orbit, it doesn't have to be along the equator. We can change the inclination, they call it, of the orbit, and then they make it very elliptical, so it's not circular, and they can swing up to, you know, say 5,000 kilometers or so, and hang over a particular portion of the Earth, and then swing. Then they'll go back down, and they'll come in real close to the Earth, and then swing back up again, and be really high. And so those spacecraft are highly specialized because they're trying to look at something particular. Especially if you're a spy satellite, you're trying to look at, you know, an enemy. Say perhaps, or gather information about boats on oceans, that sort of thing.
Jim, the James Webb Telescope, there's a Lagrange point, and it's orbiting that point, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, you guys are taking off my quiz here. All right, so you
we
guys
make you answer your own quiz.
the James Webb Space Telescope is a satellite of something. You tell me, is it a satellite of the Earth or the satellite of the Sun?
That is interesting. It goes with the Earth around the Sun. And I think if I think about it quickly, is that after one revolution around the Sun, it also circled the Earth once. So the Lagrange 2 point is on the opposite side of than the Sun from the Earth. So now you can imagine that. It moves in such a way that you could always draw a line from the Sun through the Earth to the L2 point. But I would rather say it's a satellite of the Sun than of the Earth, because it is dominated by the gravitation of the Sun. Together we are in an orbit around the Sun.
I would say you're correct too, Mahdi. It's not orbiting around the Earth. It's always kind of like at this Lagrange point, which doesn't shift, because that Lagrange point has to do with the Sun-Earth system. And so it's actually orbiting the Sun. And the fact that once a year it's gone around the Earth is kind of a technicality, I think.
That's huge.
A huge orbit around the Earth, and the Earth isn't really controlling it. So I'd say it's a satellite of the Sun.
So if you take the line connecting the Earth and the Sun relative to that line, the L2 point does not move. Since the Earth's distance from the Sun is not exactly constant, it varies around 150 million kilometers by a few million kilometers. It will slightly move along that line by a smaller amount than the change in the distance of the Earth from the Sun. But it's very close to being fixed on that line.
In the few minutes that we have left, Henny, with your permission, I'll just run down a few of the things that we've talked about on Stara and Planeta. And you guys can tell me whether it's a satellite of something, or if it's a probe, or if it's a lander, or if it's a rover. How about the International Space Station?
Satellite.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure, satellite.
A big one, a very big one.
It's a very big one, yeah. How about New Horizons that explored Pluto and is now out in the Kuiper Belt?
A probe, I'd say.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, definitely a probe. You know, mm-hmm. We talked about this one. You might find a little difficult, maybe not. We talked about Lucy. Remember Lucy and how Lucy is going to go out to the Lagrange points of Jupiter and explore the captured asteroids out in these Lagrange points of Jupiter. Do you remember what the trajectory of?
Yeah, the Trojan objects. That's an interesting one.
Well, wouldn't it be a probe?
I think it will eventually be in an orbit around Jupiter.
Yeah, it sounds to me like it's dominated by Jupiter's gravity. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not orbiting Jupiter.
It will orbit the sun in a special way.
Right. It does. Initially, it's in orbit around the Earth. It goes all the way out to the Trojans and then comes back and does a flyby around the Earth, and they do a trajectory correction. But it's so wild, the change in this trajectory, that I would call it a probe if it was me.
That's a difficult one.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about, isn't it? We already talked about DART. How about Juno at Jupiter?
Juno will be a satellite of Jupiter in a very elliptical orbit.
Highly elliptical orbits, right. Very much so. Yes. And ultimately, it will meet its end much the same way that Cassini did, but not for years to come. Let's see. We talked a bit about James Webb. Here's a fun one. Ingenuity at Mars.
That's not just a lander, but it's not a rover. Can't remember now.
I think we need a new category. I think we need a new category, huh?
Yeah.
Helicopters.
Ingenuity, for the listeners, Ingenuity is the helicopter at Mars.
Sorry. I was confused.
That's a new category, but it's a bit like a probe and a bit like a lander.
Yeah. And a rover. It just rovers a bit higher.
Here's one with some South African influence. SunSat. You remember SunSat?
Yes. That was a satellite, definitely.
Yeah. Do you remember what orbit it was in?
Well, that would be low Earth orbit.
It was in the wrong orbit, actually. That's what caused its death.
It had an elliptical orbit of 400 kilometers by 838 kilometers, and it was tilted 93 degrees.
Okay, wasn't unfortunately designed for that orbit and to get a free ride or to hitch a free ride into space. They couldn't choose the orbit, so unfortunately it got too much sunlight and eventually overcharged the batteries, I believe. Yeah.
And that's why the designers of these satellites have to know the orbit that it's going into before they actually start designing it. Right.
Yes. Yeah. In this case, they only had a free ride, so they couldn't choose the orbit. Yeah.
Okay, you guys, we have to. You know, we can carry on like this. It's very interesting.
I got one more thing just to say that from time to time you'll hear people refer to dish antennas as satellites. That's just a common nomenclature, but they're not really satellites at all. They're more like telescopes, which is like a quiz for another show.
Okay. Yes, definitely.
Thanks for the quiz. Okay, Jim, to get hold of you?
I love answering questions on the Facebook group. Drop me a note.
Wat is jou besonderhede?
Telefoonnummer 072-45-79-208. 072-45-79-208.
En dan Marty?
0836257154.
En ons e-posadres sterreplanete@gmail.com. Sterreplanete@gmail.com. Tot 'n volgende keer.